So today I'll talk to you a little bit about varicella in Texas and what we do for our surveillance. And the objectives this afternoon will be to describe the activities that we conduct in Texas for surveillance of varicella. Also describe a little bit of the epidemiology of varicella in Texas, mainly through some of the data that we've been able to collect over the years. And discuss briefly the benefits of doing the case-based surveillance. Just some of the items that I'll go over today are the public health structure in Texas, giving you a little bit idea of how Texas is set up in the public health realm. It's a little bit different than some other states. We actually have a central office, a regional office, some local health departments, and also the vaccine requirements for varicella. Give you a little bit of timeline that our surveillance for varicella has changed over the years and kind of go over what that has looked like. And then kind of the variables that we actually collect with name reporting, and also discuss some of the data, some of the epidemiologic trends. There's a map of the state of Texas. We have 254 counties with a population of about 23 million, and we have a pretty diverse population. In the structure of Texas, we have a state office, kind of a central office. It's located in Austin, Texas. In addition to that, we have regional health departments that function as 8 units, and they're usually responsible for all the counties in the white. And then the colored counties, the yellow, the purples, the oranges, are actual local health departments. So we contract with these facilities to provide services, and varicella surveillance is one of those. And then the regional offices are the ones that do the more direct actual day-to-day surveillance activities. Just so that you kind of know the background about what are our requirements for school and child care facilities in Texas, beginning in August of 2000, we put the one-dose requirement in for 12-year-olds, kind of targeting the 7th graders, and then the kindergartners, and then also for the child care facilities for the 1-year-olds. And then in August of 2004, we changed that because we were wanting to get more coverage of the individual so that there would be higher coverage rates, especially before they leave the school system, as we all know that that's really the best opportunity to get them back. Vaccinated, we kind of did a tiered schedule of in 2004, 2005, we vaccinated the kindergarten through 4th grade. They had to have vaccine before entering school, and then the 7th through 10th grade. And then each year we continued until the school year 2006, which started in August, where all children K through 12 have to be vaccinated with at least one dose of varicella vaccine. And then, of course, with the medical recommendation, if they're getting their first dose at age 13 or older, then they have to have the 2 doses. And then in child care facilities, we also made a change in August of 2004 that the varicella requirements had to mimic whatever is age appropriate. So technically, if a child is 4 or 5 and in child care facilities, then they should have 2 doses. And then just a little bit about our surveillance timeline. We've been doing varicella surveillance since about 1972, basically getting case counts just aggregated by county, not any demographic information, just pure counts for the state, well, for the county, and then we would aggregate that to kind of get a state total. In 1999, we made some changes to where we were doing aggregate reporting by age group so that the cases were reported to us from facilities by age group. And they were like usually the less the 1 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14. 15 to 19, 20 to 29, and then on up. And then that was just a real simple reporting form, not really a lot of demographic information being captured, just, again, case counts. And one of the issues that we did find with aggregate reporting is that sometimes you get multiple reports from individuals. And so if the school reported someone to us and the clinic reported someone to us, we had no idea to know whether it's the same individual. And that'll be important a little bit when we look at some of our statistics. And then again, just put on the timeline that we did put the vaccine requirement in August of 2000. In 2001, the state started to move towards named reporting, and so we made some changes to our administrative code and went to case-based reporting, and that went into effect pretty much in 2002. And also, during the time from like the 90s to about the late 2004, we were using the NET system to transmit the data to CDC and just collecting the variables that were developed in that system. The other thing that's kind of interesting to note about that is that NETs is kind of a standalone version, so not all in with the public health structure in Texas. Everything had to get into the system at the central office to get transmitted to CDC and to be counted. Some local health departments, about 6 of our large local health departments, actually had a copy of that NETS file where they were using it. They'd send us an electronic file, and we would import it and then have those counts covered or cases counted. But in other sites, small local health departments that did not have that, the paper copies actually had to come to central office, and central office had to do all that data entry. So there were lots and lots of data entry that, and duplicate data entry that was happening at the local level and again at the central level as well. And then in the late 2004, we did transition over to the NEDS-based system, and that's what we're using today, which has allowed for the local health departments and the regional health departments to enter their cases. It doesn't all have to come to the state office hard copy to be hard entered, but the burden of data entry is now shared among the state or throughout the state. And so how did we implement it, or what steps did we have to go through to get a case-based surveillance in Texas? We had to amend our Texas Administrative Code, which we had to go through the process, getting stakeholder input, working with the associations, Texas Medical Association, Texas Pediatric Association, working with the Texas Association of School Nurses, working with the nurses as well, and then also working with the school and child care facilities just to make sure that they had buy-in to it and understood what this meant as far as impacting them. Once the rules were processed and completed and passed, we had to send notification out to physicians, to schools, to the child care facilities, and we used a lot of the associations. We used a lot of websites to make that public information. We also put information on websites, send out newsletters, put articles in certain journals just to make the awareness of it known. We also have a chart in Texas that's for the schools and child care facilities of certain communicable diseases, along with is it reportable or not, and should a child be excluded if they're diagnosed with this, and what are the re-entry admission criteria. So we had to revamp that or re-edit it and then send that out to all these facilities as well. So kind of helping to get the word out there that this was a change, and then what were they required to do now. And so the data that we collect in Texas are these variables: the name, the dates of birth, address, onset date of the illness, vaccination history, were they vaccinated or not, and then in 2008 we have now added the number of doses. Before it was just the one dose. Race, ethnicity, and gender. We do not get the information on the severity of disease, but I can tell you just based on what we've seen and what we hear and when we get calls from outbreaks, majority of our diseases are breakthrough disease. We haven't really seen many severe cases or even what we would say as just typical varicella without being a breakthrough. Every now and then we get an adult or so, but the number of those cases are very few. So this is just the trend data from 1972 to 2007, also showing where the vaccine was licensed in 1995 and what the data looked like before and after that. And we'll go into a couple of slides that will kind of break down the most recent years a little bit better. And then here's a slide showing the varicella incidence since 1990 through 2007. And you can see that we kind of peaked at about 120 cases per 100,000 population, 1997-98. And then there was a substantial drop off in 1999 to about 40 cases per 100,000 population. And it kind of stayed pretty steady from about 2000 to about 2004. And then slowly we start seeing some inclines and some decreases and some increases. And I think some of that has to do with the reporting system, the changing from going from the age groups to the actual case-based reporting, and then in addition to the changing in the surveillance system that was being used. 2006 was probably the first year where we had really everybody on board with the NEDS-based system, and that all the sites were making sure that they're getting data entry. With implementation, I don't know how many states have tried to implement MBS, but it's been a big learning curve. So 04, 05 were big learning years where people were getting adjusted to the system, where they weren't entering all the information, but we didn't really realize it until the year afterwards. So I think 2007 will definitely be a better reflection of the data, 06 and 07. And then we also look at the varicella case counts in comparison to our vaccinated population or vaccination rate shown in the pink line. And these are the data of infants 19 to 35 months of age vaccinated with at least one dose of varicella according to the National Immunization Survey. And so you can see we have in Texas a pretty well populated pretty well vaccinated population. So we do have pretty high vaccine coverage levels and continue to see disease. And then in just a moment, I'll show you that what proportion of those individuals have actually been vaccinated. If we look at our data by age group, the different age groups, the less than one, the 1 to 4, the 5 to 9, the 10 to 14, the 15 to 19, and then 20 to 29. And this is showing data from 2000 to 2007. And you can see that even all through all those years, our 5 to 9 age group was really where the majority of our cases were being seen. And that's that age group that, you know, it's kindergarten, kind of elementary school. And today, even today, we still see most of our outbreaks having to be affected with those children. Most of the calls that we get when we have to do some interventions, some outbreak control, has to do with the kindergarten, first grade, second grade classes. And then if we look at the proportion of our varicella cases that had been vaccinated from 2002 to 2006, again, the same age groups, we can see that majority of our cases have been vaccinated. The other thing that we are with the implementation is getting better at ascertaining vaccination status. Back in 2005, only about 41% of the cases actually had the vaccination status known, whereas in 2006, 32%, and then in 2007, 21%. Most of the individuals where the vaccination status isn't known, it's usually the older adults or teenagers that maybe are not in school, but like that 18 and older, or people can't remember, or they don't keep records if they were vaccinated or not. So in our latest data, 2007, again, looking at that 5 to 9 year age group, you know, 90% of them have been vaccinated with at least one dose of varicella. The other thing that we've been looking at to see if there was any kind of change is the number of counties that report. Again, we have 254 counties in the state. By all means, population's not the same in all of them, so not all of them have child-age children. But looking at over the years, did we see a difference in the number of counties where cases were being reported from? And we see back in the 1990s and stuff, about 45% of our counties were reporting cases. And so now that has grown and has increased to where in 2007, over 71% of the counties are reporting cases. I think that, again, has to do with increased awareness of what the rules and regulations are and also using the NEDS-based system, because now some areas that did not have access to the NEDS system may not have been sending in their reports to the state office to be counted, but now they actually have access to the surveillance system themselves and are entering this data. And then we're also interested in looking at who's reporting our varicella cases. We've always kind of thought that schools and child care facilities would be the ones to do the majority of the reporting for us. And most of the times when we do get calls, it is from a child care facility or from a school that's having, you know, some sort of an outbreak. So what we found in our 2007 data is that 61% of our cases are reported to us from schools. Another 3% are reported from child care facilities. 14% are reported by physicians' offices. 2% come from laboratory results. 4% are reported by hospitals. We haven't seen many hospitalizations actually due to varicella. We've actually seen not only, you know, a decrease in the severity of the disease, but that's also been noted by seeing a decrease in the number of hospitalizations. I think in 2007 we may have had one reported hospitalization due to varicella, and no deaths reported to us in 07. And then a 16% come in being reported to us from other types of facilities. So just kind of summarize what the experience in Texas has been. We've seen that going through name reporting has allowed for implementation of the new reporting requirements, has been successfully implemented, was easily done and achieved. We thought that there might be some individuals not wanting to do it, but that hasn't really been the case. Physicians haven't really complied. We use a one-page surveillance form, and you can report multiple individuals. And so what we have done in addition to kind of keep up with everybody knowing about the awareness, when we receive a call at central office, we send them the reporting form with the number of where that form needs to be faxed to. Then we also, with the implementation of MBS, I think we've allowed for other local health departments and our regional health departments to partake in that surveillance for their own areas. And I know that this last year we've seen a lot of outbreaks in the school age, and it's allowed the locals really to get involved at the beginning, because before, those reports would come into central office and not necessarily go into the local. So by the time the report was sent in, it was too late to do anything about it. But now with the reporting going straight to the local, they're able to implement some control measures. And I think schools are really important, that if you are going to go into doing case-based surveillance in your state, if you have not done that, getting them involved, you know, with the school nurses, they're our best reporters. And to get them on board is really a good thing and really beneficial to everybody involved. And then having the named reporting has really allowed us to look at trends. Now, what I forgot to mention earlier with our varicella vaccination requirements, we know that the ACIP has the two-dose recommendation. And based on our incidence of disease and looking at that 5 to 9-year-old population, we are looking at adding the second dose to be mandated, possibly in August of 09. For the kindergartners and the seventh graders, and then we'll probably do a tiered schedule like we did previously. And that's all I had. Thank you.